Okay, the reading, John.
The reading this morning is Psalm 32, 1-11. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, and all who are upright in heart.
So, as you may or may not know, we're doing a theme on Psalms at the moment. So, a psalm which means something to you. And I've chose Psalm 32. There's all kinds of psalms. There's psalms of praise, adoration, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of worship, psalms of testimony, psalms talking about a thirsting. I'm thirsty. Searching for God. Psalms of disorientation. You're in trouble. And new orientation. Reflecting back on a bad time. So, Psalm 32 is about confession, and actually this resonates a lot with my life. So what I'd like to do first, as we've got a bit of time, is I've chosen a song which we're going to play at the end of my talk, but because it's a new one, I'd like you to listen to it now, familiarise yourself. Then when we come to play it at the end, it will hopefully help you more as a response. It's quite a new one from Davy Crowder called Forgiven. So Howard, if we can, when you're ready, we can play that one. And then I'll carry on with the talk. So I need my trusty assistant, Nathan. Nathan, could you put the table in the middle there?
Okay. So I'm going to do a demonstration of sin. And hopefully this will speak to you. I've seen this on YouTube to start with. It was quite powerful. So, why did Jesus have to die? Is this a question you ponder to yourselves? Do you know the answer? Let me explain why with this visual. Right. Okay. So, the first jar here, we have sin. And I'm going to make it a bit more sin. This should be black, really, but it didn't work with it. That is a good colour. Sin. What's sin? Sin is the definition of doing things wrong. Breaking of God's rules. Mucky, horrible stuff. Right, okay. Here is you. Okay? You, here, look pretty good, right? Nice and clear. Clean. Just the way you meant to be, right? I look so good, you could drink that, right? Laurie?
Not even me.
No, yeah. But we've done all things wrong. We've done things that we shouldn't do. Sin comes and enters our life. When it enters our life, it makes us dirty. Mm-hmm.
not what we should be like. We've all done things wrong we shouldn't do. All sinned in different ways. Problem is, when we sin and bring sin into our life, it changes us. It changes who we are. There are elements in us that are not meant to be there. It doesn't look like us anymore, how God designed us to be, right? Could be bad attitudes. Maybe you yelled at someone, lied to a friend, cheated, hurt someone, or even hurt yourself. Right? Whatever it is, it's not the way you're meant to be. God saw this, and he didn't want it to be that way. So he had a perfect rescue plan. So the perfect rescue plan was Jesus. Right? Jesus came, and he was perfect. He lived a perfect life without sin. And what he did to solve the problem was he decided to take this sin and put it on himself. So he went to the cross and took all this sin. Still the same, right? Nothing changed. He's still clear. Jesus took all our sin. No change. He took all our sin to the grave and left it there. Then he came back for new life for us. He was perfect and blameless. We have the ability to say yes to Jesus, so we don't need to sin anymore. Sin was defeated by the power of the cross. So what Jesus can do for us is he pours himself into us and makes us clean again. Back to what we should be, of what God designed us to be. Pouring Jesus into you changes everything. Jesus brings freedom. We couldn't have got that sin out on our own. We couldn't have changed ourselves back to be clear again. Jesus needed to do it. And Jesus clears up all sin. He makes us pure, how we were designed to be. So hopefully that will help you. Okay. I'll leave that there. But I'm conscious we don't want James to get near it.
He's water.
Yes. Okay. But I get thirsty and preachy. It could be interesting.
Right.
That speak to anyone? Anyone resonate with that? Good. Okay, Howard. The presentation, please. Yeah, the main presentation. Not that one, sorry. The presentation one. I'll come back to that one. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, if you've got your Bibles, you can follow along as well, which would be good. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. We are blessed when our sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. God gives us choices, actually. It's called free will. We can choose to do right or wrong. Why does he give us the choice?
Anyone have an answer to that? Why does God give us the choice to do?
Well, he doesn't want robots or programs to do right.
Yes, very good. He doesn't want robots. God gave us free will, so he can decide.
For Frank, this one?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
What
is? Do you want to put the light down? It might be easier.
Should
we
remote?
Yeah. No, I won't take it. And there's right click, right? As they say, Miranda, bear with.
Is there sound with it?
No.
Could that be turned down maybe? Because it's a bit.
Yeah, how is it? Yeah. At least that's good, might be easier. Okay, thank you, Howard. Okay. Yeah. Is it switched on? No.
Shall I do it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this was the first verse. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. So, free will. We spoke about free will. Because God gives us free will because we can decide whether to love or not, right? Why? Because love always involves a choice. So, Maureen and John. John, why are you married to Maureen? Why did you marry Maureen?
She could cook.
Were you forced into it?
No.
Okay. So you made that choice?
I did, yes.
You made that choice? Fantastic. Are you pleased with that, Maureen?
Oh, yeah. Am I pleased with that?
He made many trees in the Garden of Eden, but he also made the tree of knowledge good and evil, right? He gave Adam and Eve a choice. He gave them a warning to say, don't go near the tree, right? But there was choice. There was choice. I've had a revelation recently about God, about he's a father who loves to reward. So if we have choices, we often make the wrong choice, right? But if we make the right choice, there's a God who's there to reward, right? He loves to bless and reward. So sometimes when I feel in a hole and I've got two choices to make, I can go left or I can go right. Left is wrong, right is right. I struggle sometimes because I think, actually, this is pulling me more than God is, right? But my mindset I need to change to understand that God will reward. It may not be that exact moment, right? But God will reward. His promises are that he will reward. And he's a father who loves to reward. And that's why he gives us two choices. Because he either said, you can take this way or you can take this way. But if you take this way, I will reward you. And if you understand that, it sometimes can help your logic when you get to the crossroads of making a decision. Does that make sense? I've had quite a few revelations recently. Sometimes you just believe things, right? And then sometimes God puts a spark in you and you really grasp it. That's where I think we should all get as Christians. So some reward scriptures. Where does it say in the scripture that God will reward? Actually, I don't know better with the light. Do you put the light on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's quite hard trying to focus on what you're saying.
Yes.
And not being able to see.
Thank you, just had a bit more. Some scriptures about reward. When you go to Matthew 6, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Colossians 3, 23-24. This is a good one if you're not feeling very encouraged at work, right? Whatever you do, work with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. So he's a father who loves to reward. Okay, next slide. So, how joyful is, that's the first bit. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge sin and whose spirit is no deceit. Yeah, okay, I spoke about that already. So slide three. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Who groans all day long? Apart from on a Monday. Do you have unconfessed sin? Has God been poking you about certain areas of your life that you need to repent? Concealing it is actually a burden. It makes you don't feel good about yourself, right? Unrepented sin does bring the wrath of God. Rick Warren says there's two strategies with dealing with sin. You do something about it, or you let Jesus take care of it. Can't do both. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. Next slide. Okay. This is a follow on from the last one. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer. So David's saying here, the heaviness of not confessing his sin was hanging on him. And to give you some background of this, David's story in 2 Samuel was the story of David and Bathsheba. Does anyone know that story?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what happened in that story was David met Uriah's wife and fancied her, right? He slept with her and got her pregnant. King David, this was. Then David had to deal with this, so he tried to solve it on his own, right? He sent for Uriah, and he sent him to the fiercest part of the battle that was going on. And Uriah died. David married Bathsheba and bore a son. But the thing David had done had displeased God. Later in the story, you may well know, Nathan exposes him and he repents. But it's the story in that is David tried to deal with it on his own and it doesn't work. Okay. Slides. Next slide, please. So this is verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Some more questions for you. What's your hidden, haunting sin? Maybe some shadow over your life in the past. Holding you back. Very private sin. I've got something to demonstrate. I have to be very careful with this. All gardeners will appreciate this. Any idea what that is?
Ivy?
No. Looks quite nice from a distance, right?
Thorns.
Oh, it's a rose sucker.
Yeah.
It's a sucker.
It's a horrible thing. So this is a looks quite nice, but it's got really bad thorns all over it. And if you get anywhere near that, they'll have you. So what have I brought this for? It reminds me of what sin can be like, because it grabs you, and it can. This, if I'm walking through this, we've got a big hedge at the bottom of the garden, and it grows out the top, and then it grows down, and then you try and walk past it. If I get anywhere near that, it snags me, and it will hold me tight. And the more I try and move, the more it will hurt me. So I thought, actually, that's a good demonstration of what sin is like. Horrible thing. Cut it off. So, bramble bush sin. Do you own your own sin? The things you do wrong? Would you blame others? Well, I only do that because they make me do that. I only do that because they make me feel like that. Take responsibility. Take responsibility for your sin. The world actually does say in this message, blame someone else. Right? Don't take responsibility. I believe we need to take responsibility for our sin. Yeah. And admit it and confess it to God. Some people think that if you tell God, he's going to be mad. Right? In the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do when God came into the garden? They hid.
They covered themselves.
They covered themselves and they hid, right? Scared. Are you scared of God admitting your sin? No?
No.
No, good.
Jesus.
Right, exactly. Because there's nothing he doesn't know already, right? He's not going to be surprised. Yet, sometimes we hide, right? Some people hide in fear of God. I went away from God for many years because I thought I was unloved for the stuff I did. But I was wrong. I found God loved me and brought me back. Some people think if you tell God, you'll be mad. But he already knows and holds his arms open with compassion. Next slide, please. And that's another one for verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you. And verse 6 is, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. We can call out to God and we can confess our sin. Next slide. All the cat lovers out there. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. There's a good song about that. I haven't got that one today, but there's a really good ministry song about songs of deliverance. No longer a slave to sin. Keep going with it. When you sin, Christian, what do you do? What do you do when you sin? Do you like the water? I don't have any of this. What do you do? What do you do, Christian, and more serious, when you do sin? Do you feel badly for a while and then go and hide away in shame? Then try and clean up the mess on your own, only to go back to God later and admit you've made a real mess of things. Why don't you go to God first rather than go and laugh? He wants you to confess your sin. As I said, Adam and Eve hid in the garden. Do you hide from God, unable to face him? We shouldn't run away. Actually, we should run towards God. He wants us there. God is a God who forgives our sin. Next slide. Okay, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you, says God. He guides us. He wants the best for us. Next slide, please. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which do not have any understanding, but must be controlled by bit or bridle, or they will not come to you. Are you like that? Sometimes?
Sometimes.
Maybe. I know I am sometimes. Are you stubborn?
Yeah.
Refusing to come to God. Refusing to let go. Or you do have stuff in your past where you just will not let it go. Holding on to mistakes. You've lived a fantastic life. You've done amazing things. Yet there's one thing that you keep bringing back to mind that you've made a mistake in your past. Why? If you've confessed it to God, he's forgiven and forgotten it. It's not there anymore. It's gone. Don't keep bringing it back. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them. Do you have a stubborn heart? Father always embraces and welcomes people back. There's evidence that in the Bible with the lost sheep was found and the prodigal. Prodigal coming back, the father was always there waiting with his arms open to accept the prodigal back. There's new grace for anyone who seeks our Heavenly Father. But yet we still sometimes have lives filled with self-loathing. Right? Is that you? I challenge you to bring that to God. There was a story I heard, I've got it written down here, about an American baseball player who was at the top of his game and did a fantastic job. And they got to some final where this guy was the top superstar and they were going to get the highest honour, and he missed the ball. The bat came out, hit it. It was a guy from one of the bases, threw it to him. He missed it. The game turned round, the other team won. They lost. This guy, even now, 50 years later, when describing him to the team or to some new people, saying what a fantastic career he had, he said, yes, but I did this. And it's not forgotten, it's still there. Forget it. Deal with it and move on. That's what God wants us to do. Don't let it be snagging you still and saying, yeah. You know, when I visit people, elderly people in homes, and we talk about their life, we talk about things you've achieved, there's always something that comes up, yeah, but I did this, or but that happened, and you know, yet you've got this whole vast area of amazing things in their life, but keep bringing, focusing on a negative. Leave it, you know. Focus on the positives, and if it's confessed, it's gone. It's not there anymore. The devil likes to bring it back and put it in front of your face and say, you know, oh, what about this? You know, like that. And you'd say, no, that's forgiven. It's forgotten. Next slide. Steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. God's love surrounds you. God gave me a word for today, but someone here, maybe more, needs to feel surrounded by God's love. And I brought, God asked me to bring a blanket. I've got a nice cuddly purple blanket there. And later on in the service, whoever that is, I welcome you to come up and be wrapped in that blanket just to feel God's love and protection. And I think that will be quite a prophetic act to do. So have a think about that if that's you. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all of that, all of ye that are upright in heart. Next slide. Okay, who knows crystal maze? Thank you. Well, quite a few. It's been around a while, right? It's been in the 80s, I think, probably.
Yeah,
it's coming back again. What's the crystal maze? It's a program on TV where you have a bunch of people. This was a celebrity one with the wonderful Louis Spence. And what they do in this program is they go in and then they do tasks, and then the object of the task, if you complete the task, you get a crystal at this guy here, holding up. And at the end of the game, the crystal amounts to 5 seconds in the dome, which is this dome. So at the end of the game, they go in this dome, and they stand in there, and then they say, "Could you start the fans, please?" Yeah. And then in there is lots of little bits of paper, some gold, some silver, and the wind blows them all up like this, and then they have however many seconds they want to collect. And they need to collect the gold ones, but not collect the silver ones, right? And they put them through a hatch. And at the end, they count them up, and then they count how many gold you've got, and then they take away the silver ones to see how many you've got at the end. Why am I saying that? I think some Christians are like that. Because you think, some people think that, I need to do so many good things, because it will, once they take away the bad things I've done, I still have something left. I don't believe that's how God wants us to do. God removes those silver ones. And when we get to heaven, and we meet, believers meet God face to face, I don't think he's going to say, "Here's your list of your sins that you've done in your life." He won't. They're gone. He's dealt with them, right? He's going to be talking to you, and he's going to be saying, "Let's have a look at your life. What have you done with your life for me, right? What things have you done?" Sin's not going to be there. I don't think we're going to be, you know, have a whole page of all the bad things we've done. If we confess them, they're gone. That's not my belief as a Christian. Yeah?
That's what the Bible says.
Amen. Thank you. But, yet, you see some people, and you see some people who are not doing good things, try and overcompensate and do good things, right? See, they make themselves feel better. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't like that philosophy. God's not like that. It will remove all our sin. Okay, next slide. We are completely forgiven, right? And God is a God who loves to come close to us and be with us. He's not a God who's going to beat you with a stick. He wants you to make the choice and come to him. I've got one video we'll show, the Derek Redmond one, which is a good one about a father's relationship. Yeah. Do you ever heard of Derek Redmond?
Yeah.
He was on television last week.
Was he?
Talking about this.
Oh, there you go then. So let's watch that. And then it's about the father's love. I'm willing to come and help you. So Derek was 400 metre. First time I saw that, it was really reminded me of God's love for us and that he looks at us from the side and will come and join us and be with us. Whatever pain you're struggling with, whatever bramble, God will come and be with us and be with us for the race, right? Okay, a couple of scriptures here. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous and for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ suffered once for sins, for the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Psalm 18, verse 16. He reached down from on high, took hold of me, and drew me out of deep waters. I like this picture here, right? Down the bottom. Every other religion is searching or reaching for a God. Our God reaches down for us to bring us back. I think that's pretty powerful. That just blows my mind. When you think about that, God is searching for us. He wants us to be his adopted children. Forgiven and forgotten. So, you can accept you've been forgiven, but has it been forgotten? Grace, God's grace, doesn't just cover our sin. It empowers us to rise up in victory, to be an overcomer. Are you an overcomer? Do you strive to be an overcomer in your Christian walk?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
You know, we go through problems, I believe, to help others. You know, we can say, we've been there. I know what that pain's like. And God allows us to go through things. And he encourages us to then come deeper relationship with him and then help others. It's powerful stuff. The very moment that you confess your sin, it was forgiven and forgotten. Sorry, Howard, go back once before. There's a verse here which I found in Micah, verses 18 to 20. I haven't got it on the screen. It says, "Where is another God like you, who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the sea." Does that sound like God wants us to keep our sins? Remember our sins? No. He throws them into the depths of the sea. Once it's dealt with, he's not going to bring that back to you. And I know someone who does like bringing it back, and that's the devil.
Of course.
So we need to tell him what his future is, right? And to tell them to get off our back, because we got victory with Christ. How about bitterness? Do you struggle? We've talked about forgiving others, ourselves as well, for sins that we've done. What about forgiving others? Are you bitter? Are you bitter with someone who's hurt you? Someone who's spoke bad things about you? Someone who's maybe hurt you physically, emotionally, spiritually, maybe in the past? Bitterness is like pouring a glass of poison for someone else, but actually you end up drinking it yourself, because it can take hold and it can dry your heart out. I had this when I was preparing a sermon. It's funny how little things sort of fit in. And on my work, I have a verse a day on my desk at work. And this week, this one came up. It says, "Find a congregation that believes in confession. Avoid the fellowship of perfect people. You won't fit in. But seek where members confess their sins and show humility, where the price of admission is simply an admission of guilt. Healing happens in a church like that. Followers of Christ have been given authority to hear confession and proclaim grace to each other." And there's a verse, John 20:23, about confessing your sins to one another. Three things to remember. One, God loves us.
Yes.
Amen. And we're free, we have free will to do things. But he does that so we can be rewarded from him. Second, repent, confess, and receive grace. And thirdly, God wants you to be an overcomer. Just because you've had your issue for 50 years, 20 years, 30 years, it can go. You don't need to always be like that. God is a God who heals and restores. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive me for the things that I have done and also not done. Forgive me for the things that I have said and not said. Forgive me for the life that I have lived and also not lived, that I might reflect the image of the one I profess to follow, in thought, word, and deed, and in discovering my true self, draw others into the light. I remove the bramble which is trapped and hurt me through my life. And Lord, I receive your grace. Teach me to come closer to you. Amen. So let's play that Crowder song once more. And let's see whether you feel any different. Or if you've got things in your mind that you haven't confessed yet, why don't you confess it to God during the song? Yeah, thank you, Harry. Amen. Right, we've got one song to finish, and that's Who Breaks the Power? It'd be great if we could get the flags out, and then let's go for it and get the last one and celebrate God. And then after that, we'll have a closing prayer. And